Good morning. It's Monday, April 8th. Baby massage day. What are these babies so stressed out about? They don't need massages. They need jobs. They need jobs. Do you get it though? Because I was trying to make jobs rhyme with massages. And now the news. It's been a week off of the news, so it's very possible I'm going to miss some things, but let's do some big stories here. We'll start with an update on the Israel-Hamas war, where last week, seven World Central Kitchen aid workers were killed in an attack that World Central Kitchen founder Jose Andres calls a systemic attack, and the chief of the Israeli military called, quote, a mistake that followed a misidentification. It should be noted that per the World Central Kitchen, aka WCK, the so-called misidentification was described like this, quote, all three vehicles were carrying civilians. They were marked as WCK vehicles, and their movements were in full compliance with Israeli authorities who were aware of their itinerary, route, and humanitarian mission. The attack has left many Democrats who were hesitant to do so before open to attaching conditions to the aid that they sent to Israel. Which, okay, I wish you had gotten here sooner, but you are here now, and we'll take it now that you're here, you know? Sunday marked 6 months since the war began when Hamas launched a deadly assault on civilians inside of Israel, killing more than 1,160 people and taking more than 240 people hostage, 112 of which have been released, and an additional 12 bodies have been recovered. Currently, there are an estimated 131 hostages left in Gaza, 33 of which are believed to not be alive. Following the attack, Israel launched a ground offensive with a goal of destroying Hamas, but instead has almost completely destroyed Gaza, a region with an incredibly dense population of almost 2.4 million people living in about 140 square miles, or twice the size of Washington, D.C., which has 671,000 people living there. Doubling the population of Washington, D.C. would be about 1.3 million people, which is still more than a million less than how many people are in Gaza. Israel's ground offensive has pushed about 75% of that population out of their homes, with 1.7 million people in Gaza displaced. In the last 6 months, more than 33,000 Gazans have been killed, with another about 76,000 injured. Out of the 36 functioning hospitals that Gaza had 6 months ago, 26 have been closed completely, 10 are partially open, and 0 are working to full capacity. Meanwhile, getting aid into Gaza continues to be a struggle, with the World Health Organization reporting that at least 27 children have died from complications tied to malnutrition, while up to 16.5% of children in northern Gaza have acute malnutrition. So, when we hear that seven World Central Kitchen aid workers were killed in clearly marked trucks that were driving along a path that was being tracked, it is worth getting serious about knowing how it happened. Also of note, on Sunday, Israel announced that they are pulling out of southern Gaza, quote, in order to recuperate and prepare for future operations. And here in the States, Congress will come back tomorrow, and thus begins Speaker Johnson's no good, very bad week. As a reminder, troll in human form, Marjorie Taylor Greene, filed a motion to get rid of Johnson because he didn't let the government completely fall apart. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's gonna do his best, but just in this moment, he did not allow the government to shut down over funding. Doing that meant working with Democrats, which was a step too far for Green. Insurrection? Fine. Questioning whether the Holocaust actually happened? Sure. Bullying teenagers who had just survived a horrific school shooting? No issues there. Working with the Democrats? How dare you? So she filed a motion, but it needs to be called to the floor for a vote. We'll see if that actually happens. It could all hinge on whether Johnson allows a vote to move forward with aid for Ukraine. So, rest easy, everyone. Aid for Ukraine, on which the literal survival of the country kind of depends, is all hinged on whether some gym addict dork from Georgia decides she's not getting enough clips on Elon Musk's website and moves forward with her plan to oust the Speaker of the House. That's a sentence. In the year 2024, we live in the dumbest possible timeline. That's an embarrassing sentence to have written and now said, but like, imagine being the person that sentence is about. Mortifying. Also, I know she thinks she's big brain, very big smart, and in fact, Tennessee's House Rep Kim Burchett went so far as to say that she is, quote, looking at the long game, but she is not, because Republicans are literally one board person away from not having the majority in the House, and it's possible that Johnson's support of Ukraine could be enough for Democrats to help him out and save his speakership, making Green look more unhinged and out of touch than she already does, which is impressive, shocking. Who knows? Truly, who knows? Maybe the Democrats will help Speaker Johnson out. Maybe they'll be like, this seems like a you problem. We are fully united in every single one of these like votes that you yahoos have forced us to take. We have given 100% of our support behind leader Jeffries because we are, you know, he's good at his job, and also we are united. You guys seem like you're not doing well. So who knows if they'll actually help him out, but we'll see. I cannot imagine that Speaker Johnson is having any fun at his job. And turns out I'm fine with that. A little bit of Trump stuff to cover, not crime, so I could make an argument that that's not a totally true statement, but just things of note. At a weekend fundraiser, Trump took in just over $50 million. That is a big number, and people are covering it. It's like big headlines. But I would like to remind you that sometimes rich people make bad decisions with their money. It is his biggest fundraiser so far, but what is important to remember is that he has been continually outraised by Biden. People are leaving Trump. Now, I'm not telling you this because we can now take it easy. That we can never take it easy. Sorry. Hey, good morning. Happy Monday. We can never relax. I'm telling you this because Trump is beatable. Know that. Feel it from your toes to the tips of your fingers. He is beatable, but it's going to take all of us doing the work to make it happen. And just in case you're looking for a reminder of what's at stake besides like everything, democracy. Apparently, Trump is going around telling people privately that he could end Russia's invasion of Ukraine by just having Ukraine give up parts of their country. Let that sink in. That is who he is. That is what he will do. He will let Putin win because he likes Putin. He likes what Putin does. He looks up to Putin. And in order to give his buddy the win, he will push another country to just give up parts of their country. Just give them up. That's who Trump is. That's what he'll do. It is not enough to ruin our country, which he is really bent on doing, but he seems happy to throw all international code of conduct out the window as well, just to like suck up to Putin. Trump is beatable. Know that it is possible, and know that there is no other option. And finally, the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship was played on Sunday between undefeated South Carolina against the Caitlin Clark-led Iowa. And it was a game. At multiple points in the game, my stomach hurt. In the end, Iowa fell to South Carolina for a final score of 75-87, South Carolina. South Carolina now joins Baylor, Tennessee, Texas, and of course UConn in having the rare distinction of winning the whole dang thing whilst staying undefeated, which is pretty amazing. Of note, this is the best-selling women's Final Four ever. Now, you can't really lock in women's tickets sold for a higher price than the men's yet because the final men's game has not been played yet, but women's tickets have been selling for more throughout the entire Final Four series, like leading up to it and then during and then ahead of this championship game, which is on track with last year, where average women's tickets were selling for 15% higher than a man's ticket because of how people want to watch women play basketball because they're very good at it. The men will play some other time. Someone else will cover it. I'm sorry. Listen, this is these shows. These episodes are free, you know? And that's it. That's the news. I'm proud of women athletes. I just love sports, specifically women's sports. Underplayed, underpaid, and some of the best dang athletes out there. K Caitlin Clark is the best player in NCAA history. So tell me why I had to watch a video of a bunch of Duke football players talking about how they would beat Clark in a one-on-one. First of all, you're a football player. Who are you beating in basketball anyway? And also, no, you're not beating Caitlin Clark. You're not beating Caitlin Clark. You don't play basketball, you dinkus. I'm getting mad. Hey, also, I'm proud of Jason Sudeikis, who is always out there supporting women's sports. And that's nice and all, and you're handsome and nice to watch when the camera cuts to you. But sir, why don't you get back home and like do your little clickety-clack for your ideas for Ted Lasso season 4. This is an unhinged end to the episode. I think it's because I took that week off. I feel now I see that I shouldn't have. I'm bringing an interesting energy to the end of this episode, and I'm very sorry. More than babies getting massages. Because you're not a baby. I'm proud of you.